great. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians 5. We're going to be picking up there at verse 22. Galatians 5, 22. Today we're going to be talking about joy. And I sensed a lot of good joy here this morning. That was exciting. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. For those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Lord, thank you for your word to us today. And Lord, we just marvel at your presence here, your blessing that you've showered upon us. I'd love to see the children, especially as they come up front and join in, and the joy that's on their faces. And I just pray today that the Holy Spirit, that you would just minister to every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, we all are different people. We have needs. You know our hearts. And Lord, today we just open ourselves to you and pray that you would move and direct. Be with those that are not here for various reasons. Some that are sick, give them a touch of healing. Others that are away on vacation, give them safety and protection. Lord, whatever we're doing, wherever we are, may we shine for Jesus. It's in your precious and worthy name we pray now. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Would you agree with me this statement that we Americans enjoy more freedoms and less restrictions than most people around the world? I don't know how many of you get Jake and Nancy Shank's newsletter. I guess I could say Nancy's newsletter. She's usually the one that puts it out. But how often they refer to as in their travels that they come upon roadblocks, that they encounter that. I've been in some foreign countries where we experience that. Did you have a checkpoint this morning on your way to church anywhere? No. Some of you that have been on vacation, maybe going from state to state, you didn't have to stop at the border, did you? You know, in Europe, that's a pretty common thing. And so I thank God for the freedoms that we enjoy here in America. But saying all that, that does not necessarily guarantee joy in our heart. In fact, I would submit to you that I believe more than not, many Americans lack joy. I'd love to go shopping in the mall. Good, you understand me. My wife does the shopping. I do the sitting and watching people walk by. I'd love to observe people. And my, God had a sense of humor when he made people. We're all different, come in all sizes. But all of that is not what I'm talking about. I like to observe faces. I see happiness. I see joy on some faces. Children delight, families together. But then I also see those that have long faces that are sad. And you wonder, what burden are they carrying? They must have had a bad day. What are they experiencing? Maybe anger, hurt. Even some that have no expression. So I'm fascinated by that. No matter what we encounter when we see people, one can usually observe whether they're happy or not, whether they are full of joy. I think we incur that our society today is very busy, very busy, and is lacking joy. When the Bible read much about the joy in the Christian life, in fact, according to Bible Gateway, the new NIV version carries 244 instances where joy is mentioned in some form or other. Now, I'm sure we would agree that just having a big smile on your face is not necessarily a guarantee that you have joy in your heart. Can't we fool people? It's like the family coming to church and the children in the back seat are not listening, and dad's upset, mother's upset, and they park and come in the door, and instantly there's a smile on their face. Been there? I have. People can get excited, get feelings when they acquire things in life. But are they experiencing joy or is it happiness? I guess I could have titled my message today, Joy versus Happiness. I think I can remember back as a child the first time Dad bought Ron and I a big fire truck for Christmas. Now, I was a twin, so there was usually one big fire truck, and we shared it, which was good, good for us. How about you girls, you young ladies, and some of you others, when you got that first dolly, that beautiful doll, you were excited. I remember some of our grandchildren squealing with delight when they get something that is just what they wanted. Is that joy or is it happiness? Think about that. Is there a difference? Well, let's dig a little deeper and see what we can learn. Have you ever heard the term retail therapy? I'm walking on thin ice here. It's usually used by women, I think. It refers to the concept of shopping to make oneself feel better. You need an emotional lift, go shopping. And all the men said amen. Or for you guys, do you remember the feeling you had when you purchased your first home or maybe that first car? And then if you were blessed enough, get a new car? Well, you know, I've had that privilege, I think, twice in my time to get a new car. But you know what? The smell of that new car doesn't last long. And next thing, there's scratches appear and dents and tires need replaced and on and on. And that new car is no longer new. Things age so fast. I remember back in 1994, we built a new home, and we were excited. 23 years ago now, honey, that was. And I left my wife, do the decorating. She, you know, she knew the colors. You know, we were talking just recently. If we could go back into that same house and see the colors we used, we'd say, oh, you know what I'm talking about? Things change so quickly. We laugh at how out of date it would be today. But what about the euphoric feeling that you got when you obtained material possessions that soon pass away? That's why styles come and go. The new model is released. Advertisements are produced to lure the senses. I remember some years ago, I was working in a factory, a glove factory, and Bill Speck was my boss, and he was a good friend of mine. And one day he said, I need some of you guys to come with me. He said, I'll pay you just like you're working here at the shop, but we need to go to a house. A good friend of mine passed away, an elderly man, and we need to clean out his house. He said, everything is there exactly the last day he lived there. Well, we went upstairs and we opened the closet and there were these ties. I declare there were some of them this wide or more. Colors of all, you know, I said, who would have wore that? But it was simply styles that changed. We went out to the garage and there's where I got excited. There was a 1928 Studebaker. All in parts, though. He took this thing apart, never put it back together again. I thought, well, that'll be some mechanic's dream or nightmare. But things change, don't they? Things wear out. We all know that. But let's look deeper here at joy. How would you define the biblical term joy? I think it goes so much, it's just so much richer than just the word happiness that seems to trigger external feelings. The Greek word for joy is actually pronounced hara, H-A-R-R-A. It's a close word for the word you find in charismatic, in other words, grace gifts. Joy is the human expression of divine grace. A true biblical joy is experienced when God's grace is manifested and we have God Himself as our foundation. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The children sang that song so heartily, having the joy in your heart. It's that human expression of divine grace. And so, friends, God is the base, the source of the object of true joy. His joy is where grace is. Joy is grounded in that conscious relationship that we have with God. It's based on special spiritual realities. Remember when you first confessed your sin to the Lord and allowed Jesus into your heart? Your heart was filled with joy. I can never forget it. As a little guy in an old-fashioned tent meeting at Rabbit Hill, Pennsylvania, Millersburg, Pennsylvania, there I went to the altar. I think I was 10 years old, and knelt and invited Jesus into my heart. I think of the song that we sang years ago when I was a boy out of the old brown hymnal, Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. How many know that song? Oh my, we got to sing that chorus. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All the half has never yet been told. My, there's truth there, isn't there? That's a song you guys could learn for the worship team sometime. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Happiness comes when your favorite football team wins the game. When you receive a gift, when you reach a goal in life, maybe graduation. This is the time of graduation. I see a lot of pictures on Facebook, these young people that are graduating, and then others that are graduating even at an older age. There's Lois Pierce. She worked hard and got her degree, and I told her I really honor her for that. Or maybe it's that promotion where you work. You know, all these things bring happiness. It's a good thing, but sometimes it's just so short-lived. You go back to work the next day, and there's the mundane, just doing the same thing over and over. I've heard it said that some are so full of joy when they experience favorable things going their way that it's hard when things become mundane. Describing happiness, it's not joy. Joy is something that is way down deep that is there no matter what our circumstances may be. It doesn't depend on your surroundings or your present condition. It's found in places sometimes that you would least expect it. Listen to Luke 6, 22 and 23. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. What's he talking about? Persecution. Hardship. They are to rejoice when those things happen. Rejoice when men hate you or speak evil about you, lies and insults as a Christian. Happiness, I would have to be honest with you, can grow thin at times like that, but that inner joy should never fade. God's grace sustains us in such unfavorable surroundings or conditions. What about Paul and Silas? Do you remember them? There in the prison that night at midnight, singing and praising the Lord. I mean, they just had a good time, right? They were beaten and they were in chains. And yet the joy of the Lord was still in their heart. Now, Stan, I've never been beaten like that or thrown in prison. I was a chaplain. I could come and go at ease, and I was glad I could. But they were loving Jesus, singing despite of their circumstances. Beloved, only a true believer can experience joy at a time like that. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2 says, Now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. out of the most severe trial, they're overflowing, what? Joy. And their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. These first century Christians were very poor. They had life, it was hard, they were afflicted. And yet, what does it say? They had joy in abundance. James 1:2 says, consider pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Wow, that's a challenge. So James says, I have to admit, I'm not always right there. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. How about you? Amen. I know the biblical joy is evident in our heart, even during times of affliction, insults, temptations, and suffering. Thank God that we can experience his joy, a joy that an unsaved person can't begin to understand. In our text today, it says, joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus pledged to impart his joy within us, that it would remain there, an enduring joy that bubbles up from within because the grace of God's presence is there. Amen. Remember what was said of the early church? They were full of the Holy Spirit and joy. For where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty, but there's also joy, the gift of joy. So friends, how can we apply this then today in our daily living, in our lives? If we're going to experience biblical joy, then we need to reject the devil's counterfeits. The dictionary defines joy as the emotion invoked by well-being, success, good fortune, or the emotion invoked by the prospect of possessing what one desires. Now, the world's definition of joy is synonymous to happiness. Both of these have emotions. They're dependent on what happens to us. I feel like we're constantly bombarded by advertisements that seem to appeal to the human senses. You know, there's a real study on that. People are paid to get those advertisements that'll grab your attention. And it really almost clouds your spiritual lenses at times. They say, if you want joy, you need and you must purchase whatever it is. So what are some of Satan's joy counterfeits? I have listed several here. What about wealth? Result. Life, as a result, life has become a drive for things and what we can get and wealth. You see, I believe the devil wants us to misplace our true faith, to think that joy will only come when we have all these things around us. People have all types of behavior when it gets to getting wealth. They can destroy their morals, their characters, and step on others just to get ahead. Paul told Timothy, command those that are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put all their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. There in 1 Timothy. Sadly, some have put their confidence in earthly treasures. But what happens when they're gone? Here today and gone tomorrow. So whether you have wealth or not, you still need the source of joy that only God can give. And then there's health. I thank God for health. But I know people a lot younger than me, their health is broken. Some are in a wheelchair or maybe a disease has taken over their life that it's really going to be a hard road for them. You can't buy health. How was it? The Queen of England, was it Victoria? I'm pulling my memory now. Her last day, she said she'd give half her kingdom for a few more weeks to live, but she could not do that. But all millions of dollars are spent on joining fitness centers, running, jogging, whatever it takes to be healthy. My wife and I joined one a year or so ago, and we enjoyed a time or so there, but we got busy, and next thing, our year ran out. But it felt good having a membership, didn't it, honey, for a little while. What about taking vitamins, herbs, oils? You know, you heard about all this. Promise to keep you younger, longer. My goodness, if all those products work, well, we're going to have a perpetual youth till we die. But I look around, especially I go to these class reunions, and I'm amazed how old everybody's looking. Now, saying all that, I do believe our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God expects us to do our best taking care of our body. Avoid harmful, destructive behaviors. But if you base your joy on a healthy body, it can quickly change. I see these young, beautiful, handsome young couples getting married and just starting out life, and it's wonderful. But their love must go deeper than the physical, because the day is going to come when you look in the mirror and you say, who is that guy? And you look at your wife and say, oh, honey, you're beautiful. And she says, cut it out. I know you're just talking. You're there. I know. You know what I'm talking about. Life changes. When I go to these rest homes, especially at Messiah Village, and I see people that I've known all my life, I have a tinge of sadness when I see how their bodies are giving out. We were up for Uncle David Kleinmanhege's funeral last week. He was 98. Met a lot of people there I hadn't seen in a number of years, and I was just amazed again. We're all getting older. But isn't it wonderful, though, the good side of that is God's getting us ready for heaven. Praise the Lord. Where we're going to have a new body. Amen. I can hardly wait. And so some of God's most joyful saints are those that, yes, have gone through pain and suffering in their body. You think of the Apostle Paul himself had that thorn in the flesh. And so we can see that health, when treated as a basis for joy, can be one of Satan's counterfeits. What about family? I love my family. I know you do too. Many feel as long as they have family surrounding them, they have joy. Children do get married and do move away. Death takes away family members. Yesterday we were at the 60th birthday celebration of Joanna Lehman. I don't know if any of you know Richard and Joanna. They pastor down in Millersfield, Kentucky. She turned 60, and it was a wonderful time sharing together. And I met former folks that had gone to our church in Belleville. Their daughter now is married, has three children. I still think of her as just a young gal. And they're living the whole way down in Texas. And mom and dad aren't happy about that. But they do move on. They have their life to live. What about Job? You remember him? He had the wealth and health and family that was taken from him. But through that, he discovered that true joy was not found in all these things, but trust and faith in God alone. Of course, I'd be the first to admit I get a lot of satisfaction from my family. I take delight in my wife and my children, grandchildren. But we got to keep God at the center of all of it. True joy only comes from him. Oh, yes, and there's success. The joy and achievement, but it's so temporal. How many of you gotten trophies when you were in high school? Where are they now? I remember the story of James Dobson. He had gotten this beautiful trophy when he was in college, and he said, remembers the day he went out to take the trash out, and there laid his trophy in the trash. His wife was cleaning out. Thought, why hang around? This thing hangs just dusty, and I have to clean it every week. And so, you know, that's where they end up. You have scrapbooks filled with pictures of your family. But don't they show how fast time keeps moving on and things change? And then there's people. I love people. People are not a reliable source of joy because the best of people can let you down. God never fails us, but people can. Think of Jesus. One betrayed him with a kiss. Another denied him knowing him. Under pressure, the rest abandoned him. I mean, he had walked with these disciples for 3 years. They were in the inner circle. When on the cross, Jesus knew that he was fulfilling the Father's will. And I believe in the depths of his heart and spirit, There was joy there knowing he was pleasing God. Why is it then we've all been guilty of placing our trust in these areas that I've mentioned, wealth, health, family, success, people? We need to be reminded, don't we, that only God alone is our solid, true joy, as everything comes from him. The psalmist said in Psalm 16, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. You've made me to know to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. How can we then as believers maximize our joy? Well, there's several things that will bring joy. The very first one is repentance. Time that we kneel before the Lord and ask him to forgive us of our sins. Luke 15:10 says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of his angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then there's that hope, that absolute assurance of future glory. Peter says it to us there, 1 Peter 4, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. What did he say there? Oh, yes, we need to be part of the sufferings of Christ. And someday we'll be overjoyed in his presence. And then God's word. Hold up your Bible. Get your Bible with you, or is it on your phone, however? God's word. John 15:11 says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Read God's word and know what it says and means. And then there's that beautiful time of prayer. John 16 says, ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. It's wonderful to spend that time with the Lord. If you're an early bird, you like to get up early in the morning and pray, or some of you late at night, that's when you like to pray. That's however God made you. This morning I came in, I flipped on the light, and somebody went, oh! I thought, well, he's not an early person. Me, I wake up 6 o'clock, I can jump out of bed, and I'm going. But God made us all different. That wasn't even on my notes. Number 5, the presence and fellowship of believers. 1 John, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. And then the converts, if you've ever led someone to Jesus, believe me, there's a joy there that you have to do it to experience and know what I'm talking about. Luke 15 says, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and said, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. 1 Thessalonians 2, for what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not with you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Let's live the life. And let's share the good news, and may others come to know the Christ that we enjoy. And then the giving. 2 Corinthians 8 says, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy, their extreme poverty, welled up in rich generosity. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I hope you've learned that. And then fellowship with the Father and Son. You know, we need to keep a close account with the Lord, confessing our sins, that our fellowship is not affected adversely. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us or purify us from all unrighteousness. And so as we walk with the Lord and draw closer to God, the more we experience the joy that he has for us. Living in his presence, oh, there is fullness of joy, friends. You can count on it. Focus on God and what he's doing in your life. One put it this way, look not at the process, but at the end product. I like this verse, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God is at work, friends. He's sovereign. He has a purpose and a plan for every one of us. A billboard said this, joy is an inside job. I put that out in the sign sometime. And I've also heard it said, happiness happens, but joy abides. Joy abides. It's something that God does deep within us when we focus on Him and what He's doing. And so, why do we take our eyes off of Christ and put it on circumstances? That only causes discouragement. And the devil then will try to steal your joy from you. God says, focus on Me. Focus on Me, and I'll help you to see past that circumstance and experience My true joy. Oh, friends, let's stay in step with Jesus. How about it? We can remain in His joy. It's available to every one of us. All we have to do is to believe and to seek it. Praise His name. Do you agree with that? I trust the joy of the Lord is your strength today. Amen. The worship team is coming now.